This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
It was well discussed yesterday that it was Fernando Tatis Jr.'s first career playoff game in front of fans. Of course, in 2020, had the empty stadium as they took on the Cardinals and then the Dodgers in Texas, and then he missed the entire 2022 postseason with the injury, and the suspension was not part of the team that year. And, you know, just coincidentally, whatever, I guess, I mean, you're always going to have anniversaries around this time of year, but yesterday was the four-year anniversary of his only two career playoff home runs, which came, of course, against Mike Schilt and the Cardinals. And someone asked Mike Schilt, you remember those home runs that he hit against you? He goes, yeah. I remember those ones that he hit against us. And, you know, we were about, that was the game that they had won game one, and they were ahead in game two, going to eliminate the Padres quickly in that 2020 playoffs. And for Tatis and Will Myers, both hit two home runs with a big comeback to win game two, force the game three, which was the Stam and bullpen day that they shut out the Cardinals to win that series. So, yes, Mike Schilt was very familiar with Fernando Tatis' playoff heroics.
Listen to this. Jeff Sanders asked the question after the game yesterday.
You were in the visiting dugout when Tatis hit his first postseason home run.
Really?
Might have been.
Yeah, it was.
Really?
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I forgot.
He remembered. But what we did not know about, and we found out last night from Fernando Tatis Jr., is what was going on during that 2022 playoff run when we were so excited. San Diego was behind the team. Juan Soto had gotten here. You beat the Dodgers, and everyone's going crazy in San Diego while Fernando is, you know, unable and not allowed to be with the San Diego Padres. And he talked about, because he was asked a question about Peter Seidler and, you know, playing for Peter and the impact of Peter on this season. And he shared a lot about what happened in that 2022 season after the game last night. And I wanted to play that this morning here for you.
And for you, how much of the memory of Peter Seidler hangs over all of this?
He's in the front of it. You know, me and Pete definitely had a relationship, like, stuff that probably nobody knew is, like, when I had my surgeries and, you know, I got my suspension, like, Peter was sitting in my house with me in the afternoon after all my surgeries. He came a couple of times to my house and had beautiful conversation with him of how San Diego was going to look the next 3 years, the next 5 years, the next 10 years. And, you know, what he has for the city and the love that he had for all of us, it was just unconditional. And, like, we're definitely doing this for him, and we're definitely pushing harder for him, especially myself. And, you know, every step that I go from here in my career here in San Diego, he's definitely going to be in my right shoulder, probably in every single special moment.
Dude, that just got me good. Yeah, that is unbelievable.
I mean, might be one of the best things I've really ever heard him say in terms of speaking from the heart. And obviously, I knew he loved Peter just like everybody did, but for me, picturing Peter, like, knocking on Fernando's door and going, hey, mind if I come in? Just, you know, sit down, shoot the breeze for a little while. And just, I don't know why that image last night, just, I felt like that's going to stick with me for a very long time.
Yeah, me and you both. I remember talking about it at the time. And, you know, having the feeling about Fernando that, hey, man, like, You have the most talent of anybody maybe I've ever seen on a baseball field. You're young. You still got time to turn it around. I don't know that he does with a different owner at the helm. You know, maybe. But a guy that's able to be empathetic and sympathetic and go over to him and tell him, hey, man, this isn't the end of the world. And we had heard that they watched those games together. Remember that? We talked about that. They watched some of those games together, and it had to gut Tatis to not be out there with his teammates. But when you do something that screws everything up, there are certain people that are like, well, oh, well, I mean, life's going to continue. Everyone will adapt to me. You got a real sense that Tati took it pretty hard and that Peter was really there to help him, you know, realize, hey, man, you're a human being. You're going to be fine. Going to give you a second chance. I still love you.
Remember, before this, before the suspension, Peter Seidler committed a statue contract, over $300 million to Fernando Tatis Jr. And there are some owners, when they commit that kind of money and then don't see that return right away, that don't have that kind of reaction. In fact, we're going to talk about one of them in Don't Do This in just a couple of minutes. And
you'll hear from him.
And a very different sort of reaction for an owner who felt like he overpaid for damaged, non effective goods in the offseason. But Peter didn't act that way. He said, no, everyone makes mistakes. We're gonna work this out. We're gonna spend more time with you, and we believe in you, and we love you, and we're gonna support you through this. And you're gonna come back, and you're gonna be that player. And now, you know, he is. He is that player again that we remember, making big moments like he did last night.
When I saw that clip yesterday, the first thing I thought of was back in 2022. It was probably mid September. I was down at Petco Park. And during batting practice, I was kind of sitting behind home plate on the big padded wall there. And I was sitting by myself, just watching, hanging out. And Peter Seidler walked by. And he sat right next to me. And I'm like, does he want me to talk to him right now?
Right.
Like, he must not have saw me or something. And he starts talking to me. And we talked for about 10 minutes. And he was talking about Fernando. And I asked him, how's he doing, like, mentally? Like, he wants to be on this field. How's he doing? And he said, he's going to be okay. And Peter told me they had just done a short, you know, they do the 2-game trip to Seattle like every year.
Yeah.
They had just gotten back from that. And he goes, you know, I invited him personally to come out there, fly out there with the team. He sat with me during those games. And I pointed at Julio Rodriguez. And I said, well, who does that remind you of? And Fernando said, I'm going to be that guy again for you, Mr. Seidler.
Dang, dude.
And Peter told me that. And damn it if Fernando didn't hold up his end of the bargain.
So sick. So sick. Let's keep it rolling. Do it again. Do it off Max Fried
the
tonight,
kid was
man.
Built for a moment like that.
Yeah, that was so electric. So electric.
Got a special category today for Take on Woods if you want to join us and Battle Woods and our 5-question musical trivia challenge and win tickets to see Cake this Saturday at the brand new Front Wave Arena. You can call right now, 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Call now. Get to play our game in a couple of minutes. Is it as obvious as I think? Yesterday, Michael King, 7 innings. Jason Adam in the 8th. Robert Suarez in the 9th. Today, Joe Musgrove, 7 shutout innings. Jeremiah Estrada in the 8th. Tanner Scott in the 9th.
Why not?
Is that, I mean, am I underthinking this? Is Mike Schilt still going to go with Robert Suarez in the 9th if it's a close game after he pitched yesterday? Or is he going to kind of save his rested guys and go kind of in an alternating fashion in his bullpen?
I think it would be dumb to even plot it out, you know, because Joe Musgrove could go 4. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're gonna.
I know, but let's think for the best. I
sure.
expect Joe Musgrove to pitch well. I mean,
I don't
know that he'll go 7, but you know, it could be Adrian Morejon, then Jeremiah Estrada, then Tanner Scott. Are you going with your rested guys, or are you going with? I mean, clearly he must think Adam and Suarez, or maybe his 2 top guys. He's aggressive. He saw that win in front of him. He went and took it. Now, do you use those guys again because you believe in them,
sure.
or do you go with your rested guys?
I think it's matchup dependent.
Yeah.
I think it's health dependent, all that. I mean, again, what a luxury and embarrassment of riches for Mike Schilt to have tonight. Doesn't mean just because Tanner Scott didn't pitch yesterday, he'll be effective today. We have no idea. You really don't. But you sure like your chances with Tanner Scott going out and getting a Matt Olson or a another one of their lefties in a big spot. I really feel like it's just going to whatever the situation dictates is what he's going to do. Adam, I would imagine, is good to go today, and I would imagine Robert Suarez is good to go today if need be.
Suarez got the job done in the ninth, but first swing was a well-hit ball the other way.
From a really good hitter.
Second batter was a well-hit ball the other way. That's a line drive single. I mean,
wait, the Olsen almost went yard.
Yeah, and then the single the other way.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
I mean, that's how they get Robert Suarez now.
Okay, well,
it's take the 100 and, you know, just line it the other way. And then he nearly got out of it 1-2-3 with the double play.
Yeah.
And then got the final out to Manny, and, you know, I mean, it wasn't that high stress.
No.
I mean, he certainly could come back tomorrow. How many pitches did Robert Suarez throw?
Not many.
I mean, I would say felt like less than 15 would be my guess. He threw
15. No.
Eight pitches. So he certainly could come back today. Will he come back is the question. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, the bullpen is as fresh as a daisy right now, man. Fresh as a daisy. Yeah. So you got a lot of different options.
I mean, Adam threw 15 pitches, struck out three guys.
I think it's really,
Suarez threw eight.
I think it's really important, too, to make sure that you get some guys in to get that experience, right? Maybe some of these guys haven't thrown in those big games.
Yeah. Like, build a nice 8-0 lead early. And,
Jeremiah Estrada.
Use a couple of your guys.
Wandy Peralta.
Why not? I don't mind that either.
It's just going to be situational. But I think both of those guys will be available today if you need them.
All right, let's play our game. We didn't do it yesterday. It is time today for Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
All right, Spencer is going to be our contestant in Take on Woods. It's brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Spencer, good morning.
Good morning.
New contestant, first time? I don't remember your name.
First time. Yes.
First time. All right, good luck to you.
Let's get it.
Normally, I let you choose the category, but today we got a special category, and I'm going to pick it for you. Today's category, Spencer, is called Wild Card, in honor of the Wild Card series. In fact, I was listening to organist Bobby Cressy yesterday before the game, and I always try to see if I can figure out what he's playing, and I heard him play Wild World by Cat Stevens, and I go, oh, Bobby, he's doing a little theme. And I go, wait, I can do a theme for Take on Woods. So all of today's answers, song
titles.
We're in
the Wild Card round.
We're in the Wild Card round. All of today's song titles and artists include the word wild somewhere in their name. You okay with that, Spencer?
I understand.
All right, so you got 60 seconds to answer as many of the five as possible. I think this is a doable category. If you don't know an answer, pass on it. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question's the two-second song. Give me that song title and the artist to score the point. If you beat or tie Woods, we're going to send you to cake at the brand-new Front Wave Arena up in Oceanside. Very first concert is this Saturday. Good luck to you, Spencer. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
Paul, you good?
I'm ready.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. In the category, Wild Card. Spencer, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
Wild.
You can pass. Yeah. All right. The punk band X recorded a cover version of which song by the Troggs that should be very familiar to fans of baseball movies? Major League. Think Major League.
Wild Pitch?
Correct. Which 70s band from Mingo Junction, Ohio is best known for their hit Play That Funky Music? Holly and Candy are two of the characters in which Lou Reed's song inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 2015.
Wild Thing?
No. Ironically, which English singer gained fame for her 1981 debut hit, Kids in America?
I say just give him Wild Thing.
I'll give you Wild Thing. 1 point. It's not going to win.
It's not going to matter.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you want to give him the cake tickets anyway for calling in? Or we'll save him for later. Woodsy, let's bring him back
in. Some integrity on this show.
I'll leave the answers floating out there for everybody to play one more time here. All right. Spencer went. It's your turn now. Special category today. 60 seconds on the clock.
I think, you know what? Go ahead.
All right. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Spencer.
Born to be Wild by Steppenwolf.
Correct. The punk band X recorded a cover version of which song by the Troggs that should be very familiar. Correct. Which 70s band from Mingo Junction, Ohio, best known for their hit Play That Funky Music?
It's KC and the Sunshine Band.
It is not. Holly and Candy are two of the characters in which Lou Reed's song inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 2015.
Take a Walk on the Wild Side.
Correct. Ironically, which English singer gained fame for her 1981 debut hit Kids in America?
We're the kids in America.
Whoa. What's the category?
I don't know.
Should know it.
Crap. I don't know. I'm out.
All right. 3-1. You did win that game. That was a wild card for the wild card series. Born to be Wild, Wild Thing. You did not get Wild Cherry.
I always do that. I think everybody makes that
mistake.
Every
funk band is KC and the Sunshine Band in your mind.
No,
Walk on the Wild Side. And Kim Wilde.
Kim Wilde.
Is Ooh, Kids
very
in America.
Good. Very good.
I was inspired by Bobby Cressy, who was playing A Wild World by Cat Stevens on the ballpark organ.
Great one.
For the Wild Card Series yesterday.
I love when you get inspiration.
I say we give Spencer the tickets because you didn't let him pick the category. You picked
it's true. I was a special category.
Give
Spencer, you want the tickets. Thanks for calling
They're
in
yours,
and playing.
Buddy.
Stay on the line. Paul is going to get your information. You can go see Cake at Front Wave
Ben's
Arena.
Like, I'm just going to pick the category for you.
Well, I mean, sometimes categories sit there for like a week, and if a week had gone by, wild card is no longer
you
that
didn't
appropriate
want to make another
next
category.
Week.
I get it.
Well, yeah, I just
I
wanted
it.
To use that one today. Sorry, everybody.
Give it to him.
Sorry,
fine.
Everybody. Yeah, we'll give it to you, Spencer. Thanks
the
for calling in.
The X cover of Wild Thing is absolutely elite.
It is.
Elite. It's just
Rick Vaughn is coming in.
It's way better.
The one game playoff against the New York Yankees.
It's way better than the Troggs. I mean, way better.
Way better.
Way better. It's not even close. X is just one of the best.
Now, it wasn't
bands.
Made for the movie. It was actually a 1984 cover. It was just used in the movie.
Used in it. It was perfect.
But perfect usage.
Perfect.
In that spot. All right. We've got Don't Do This coming up next. And it's a special baseball themed, playoff themed version. We'll mention that owner that we talked about.
This was unreal, man.
And a little bad behavior at Petco Park last night as well. All coming up in Don't Do This after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
So you actually called this yesterday, if I remember correctly.
I did, in our opening segment.
You expected it to happen.
Yeah, she had every game.
Because last night, in the bottom of the fourth inning, you might have heard, and even if you were following on social media, you might have seen people commenting on the fact that a Beat L.A. chant broke out at Petco Park. And then I saw people panicking, like, we're getting ahead of ourselves, people. They haven't even beaten the Braves yet. Well, let's not focus on L.A. No, that's not what happened. And credit to Jesse Agler, who was really on top of it on our 97.3 The Fan game broadcast of what was happening. The don't do this moment during the game in the stands last night at Petco Park.
Two down here in the bottom of the fourth inning.
He's just
caused a little bit of a ruckus in the stands down the right field line. And, I mean, it was like multiple sections worth of people kind of all looking at the same thing. And then some booze, and now a beat L.A. chant. So if you're going to put one and one together, there was a Dodger fan down there trying to cause some trouble. Dodgers, of course, waiting for the winner of this series.
I had a buddy text me, and he goes, I am three rows behind this redacted sitting in right field, and he's starting S. He's trying to start a fight. He's trying to get under Padres fans' skins.
It's a choice, and a really, really obnoxious choice to go to a wild card playoff game featuring, again, the Atlanta Braves and San Diego Padres wearing Dodgers gear.
Yeah.
I mean, you really want to be a troublemaker.
I said
if you're doing that.
Yeah, I said it yesterday. You'll see them. They'll be in full gear. They always are. It's like, hey, man, it's the Padres taking on the Astros right now, and you're in your full gear walking around Petco Park. That's fine. Whatever. They'll beat their chest. That's what a true fan does. Okay, whatever, man. At this point.
Rent free, bro.
Little bro. But, like, I'm not going to Dodger Stadium. But if I'm not going to Dodger Stadium in full Padres gear, going out into right field and being like, what's up, mother effer?
Can you imagine?
It's
a Dodgers against Brewers, and you go up to a Dodger-Brewers game at Dodger Stadium wearing full Padres regalia. I'd laugh at you. I mean, great, you're a diehard Padres fan. That's just dumb.
Standing in your section.
Yeah, waving them up.
Come on.
Whatever.
You know.
So funny, dude.
Whatever.
So funny. Ryan Cohen's in the chat. Ryan, stick around. That's all I'm going to tell you. Ryan, stay right here on 97.3 The Fan. The next story we have for Don't Do This was pretty spicy yesterday. As you know, the Arizona Diamondbacks missed the playoffs, and one of the guys that probably helped contribute a lot to them missing the playoffs was one of their big offseason signings, Jordan Montgomery, who won a World Series for Texas, signed very late. Scott Boras' client, just did not go very well for him. 6.23 ERA for the Snakes last year. He has a $22.5 million player option for next year. Player option is the key word here. Listen to what his owner, Ken Kendrick, said on Burns and Gambo.
Listen to Burns and Gambo. This is Arizona Sports Radio, you say?
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like
Where's the honor?
Signing Jordan Montgomery and E-Rod. I'll stick with Montgomery because E-Rod.
Jordan Montgomery.
Jordan.
Signing Jordan Montgomery and E-Rod. I'll stick with Montgomery because E-Rod was hurt for a lot of the year and we didn't get to see him in a full season. But Jordan Montgomery was $25 million and he pitched to an ERA well over six and got demoted to the bullpen. How disappointed are you in that signing?
Let me say it the best way I can say it. If anyone wants to blame anyone for Jordan Montgomery being a Diamondback, you're talking to the guy that should be blamed. Because I brought it to their attention. I pushed for it. They agreed to it. It wasn't in our game plan. You know, when he was signed right at the end of spring training, and looking back in hindsight, a horrible decision, you know, to have invested that money in a guy that performed as poorly as he did. It's our biggest mistake this season from a talent standpoint.
Oh, my God.
And I'm the perpetrator of that.
Oh, my God.
Well, you can kiss every free agent goodbye.
I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to take some heat off your GM and go, he didn't want this. I wanted it. I pushed for it. It's blame me, which I understand that sentiment. But do you realize what your words are going to cause? When you say that you made a horrible signing and a terrible decision, how do you think Jordan Montgomery is going to feel about that? Do you think he wanted to pitch poorly this season?
No, he didn't.
Of course he didn't. Do you think other potential free agents are going to see that you say that publicly, and have some second thoughts about the Arizona Diamondbacks organization? Yeah, possibly.
So was he absolutely trying to get Jordan Montgomery to not pick up his player option of, what was it, $27.5 million? $27.5 million?
So you think he's playing a devious game as
well? Yeah, I mean, it's a risk you take, $22.5 million. If I'm Jordan Montgomery, here's what I do today. I put out a statement, and I say, nobody wanted to pitch better for Mr. Kendrick and the beautiful fans of Arizona. I really I take the responsibility for pitching as poorly as I did. I'm so excited to pick up this $22.5 million player option and show you guys what I'm capable of doing. Thank you so much, Arizona. I promise you I will be back. I would jam it down that guy's throat, and I'd be like, you're paying me every single nickel of that $22.5 million, and if you trade me, fine, you're still paying me Now you're going to pay me $22.5 million to pitch against you, and I will see you again. And every time I see you, I'm going to stick it up. Right? And, I mean, it's he thinks he's getting leverage by doing that. It's not. You're not. You've just cost yourself. And his agent, I think, is Boris, unless he fired Boris because of the late signing.
He might have been the one who fired Boris, I think.
Whoever the agent is right now is like, oh, yes, dude. We're going to go somewhere where you're wanted, or you're going to pitch there, take whatever role they give you, bust your ass in the offseason, but at the end of the day, you're making $22.5 million. This guy needs to button it up. You know, he needs to button it up as the owner. It's not a smart decision.
Finally, a little doo-doo this.
D-D mega doo-doo.
Paulie brought one to the table this morning involving someone who is in our chat right now.
Our beloved Ryan Cohen he was on, I don't know what they call it, the watch party. It's like a YouTube stream.
Yep.
Three guys sitting on a couch for John Boy watching the game. You're just watching the reactions. And, of course, Ryan Cohen during a Padres game, during any Padres game, a Wednesday night in April, he's a lunatic. You can only imagine him in the postseason. And he predicted that big home run there in the bottom of the first inning.
Fernando's about to hit.
I love it. Well done, Ryan. Young
Where
do
we get those recliners that they do their show in? That would be nice.
That'd be sweet.
I'm not allowed setup.
I'm not allowed to have those. That's my idea for playoff cabin. You know, like yeah. That's what I wanted. I wanted playoff cabin, but
cameras everywhere.
The playoff cabin.
Yeah.
The playoffs sneak up on us every year. So I just
Do we go into the confessional like and record our private thoughts?
Ben is driving me absolutely bananas. All he's doing is math the whole time. Oh, I can't believe this. That was great. The playoff cabin confessional would be incredible.
I just wanted a quick bonus do this. We didn't get to it yesterday, but it was announced on Monday. I thought this was really cool. So this is the National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association. They launched a new award this week. It's called the Tony Gwynn Community Service Trophy. And they are going to announce it every year at the College World Series. Nominees from colleges, student athletes who are active in their communities, representing their programs with integrity, excelling on the field, and are going to be honored. They're going to, you know, do a vote. And it's kind of like the Roberto Clemente Award sort of for Major League Baseball players, but a college version named after Tony Gwynn. Obviously, he did a ton in San Diego with the Tony Gwynn Foundation. He and Alicia and the Gwynn family have always been huge in the community, and it's nice even now, more than 10 years after Tony's been gone, that he's still being remembered and honored this way. Of course, Luis Arraez just won the Tony Gwynn Award, the National League batting title, named the Tony Gwynn Champion Trophy for Luis Arraez for the third time, winning one of those. So another award named after Tony, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, a really, really good award, and congratulations.
And that's Don't and Do This for a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we got Big League Wednesday. Adam Jones and his thoughts on, the Orioles lost, the Padres win last night. Got a lot to discuss with AJ when we come back here on 97.3 The Fan. Feels like the big leaguiest of Big League Wednesdays here when you get to the postseason. I saw Pauly ran into now a former Major League Baseball manager last night.
Son of a bitch, man.
Probably going to be a very hot name this offseason.
Oh, he's always a hot name.
I know you think he's always a hot name.
Yeah.
What's up? Yeah, I was just saying you ran into a former Major League Baseball manager at the ballpark last night. A manager of the year, reigning manager of the year until a few more weeks.
Was he just walking the concourse?
Give him a big hug, and it, He hurt me.
He's so strong.
So built.
Was he just walking the concourse?
No, he came up. We were texting, okay. And he was like, because he said, you guys were texting in the morning, and he was like, oh, you're not going to be there, huh?
Yep. He's
giving you a little S for it. Gotta be a dad, dude.
It happens.
So he texted me, and he said, oh, I'm sitting over, you know, let me know, swing by and say hi and talk to him, catch up for a few minutes. It was good.
Yes. Skip Schumacher is who that was.
Sweet angel.
Polly posted a picture, which was, I was a little jealous because I was there, but I didn't see Skip. But Polly did. But speaking of big leaguers, we got Adam Jones standing by to talk playoffs, Padres, Orioles. That was a tough one against the Royals yesterday. We'll do that right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. You know what that means. It is a Big League Wednesday, and we got the five-time All-Star Adam Jones joining us here. Playoffs are underway, Adam, and Michael King was nasty. I know there are a lot of nasty pitchers in baseball, especially in the postseason, but that was some filthy stuff last night.
Hey, gentlemen, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Oh, of course. I mean, seven innings, 12 Ks. That was a really good start. Again, it's the playoffs, and that's what you needed out of them. You needed the length. That's what it's been missing from a lot of teams in the last few years, because as you've seen, the high leverage pitchers come into the game the second there's a scare. But I think it was really refreshing to see a few starters throughout baseball yesterday.
Yeah.
In the first game, the wild card go six plus innings with King, Scubel, Burns, Reagans, Severino. I think it was really refreshing to see that as a fan also.
You know, it's funny, man. I watched every game yesterday. I didn't get a chance to go down to Petco. You got a shout-out on the broadcast last night, by the way. Did you hear that?
I heard, yeah.
Yeah.
A friend sent me the video,
yeah.
The clip of it, because Tatis was blowing a bubble, catching the ball. And, I mean, hey, anytime they can continue using the name and any references, I'll take it. Obviously, Tatis is a premier defender. So if you are including me in that, I would take it. He's a platinum winner. I only got gold. So I would say he has. Well, I got a few of them, but you know he's already, you know, in that year he's already accomplished. But hey, I'll always take publicity.
Oh, 100%. As long as it's something good, you can say whatever you want about me.
Usually, AJ gets shout outs when anytime Manny gets robbed.
Anytime
anything,
Manny gets robbed.
Oh, wow, Adam Jones. He hasn't been robbed like that since Adam Jones
got him. You know that still sticks in his craw. You know it does.
I told him to pull the ball. Stop going that way. I know you can go that way, but go the other way. Go right center on high walls. Petco's a very easy, robbable ballpark. You know what I mean? Go directly right or just pull it where they can't hit it, there's no chance they can catch it.
Man, I was watching those games yesterday, and, you know, we always talk about it, AJ. We talk about pitching in the postseason, and Cole Reagans, or Tarek Skubal to start, was absolutely filthy and said, he goes, I was as nervous today as I was when I made my debut.
Huh. And he did. And Michael King said he wasn't nervous at all.
It's crazy.
Weird.
I mean, it's like sociopathic to not be nervous, but Skubal was ungodly. And then, you know, Framber was not bad. They just got to him early. Bullpen came in and settled it down. But the guy I was most impressed by was Cole Reagans. And I know it was against your Orioles. Corbin Burns was also phenomenal. Cole Reagans was disgusting. Disgusting.
And I watched a lot of his, I watched the whole game. And now, you know, people were saying, oh, this at bat. I mean, the main at bat to me was the McCann at bat, then followed by Gunnar Henderson.
Gunnar, oh,
he went change up at 84 at the knees. Then he went 95 up and in that you can't even foul off. And then he went to just a hammer curveball. Like, come on. He's striking out Willie Mays with that sequence, okay?
Yeah.
Here's what it is. He was good. Tip your cap. You got game two today. I mean, you can't worry about him yesterday. But that's the thing is that, you know, sometimes you say, oh, we struggle. Well, you know what? Why'd you struggle? Because the pitcher put his foot down my throat. That's why you struggle.
Yeah, Snicker.
He didn't hit. He didn't hit. No, it's not about he didn't. It's the dude forced it.
Yeah.
Now, you know, is he just like, here's a softball, Manny. Here you go, Manny. Here's just, you know, Merrill, here. Let me just lob it up to you. No, you know, anybody. Adley, here you go, buddy. They're not going to do that. These guys are going to be nasty. They're going to, it's a playoff. They're going to bring their best. And I think what is good about it is that the Royals, who haven't been on the big stage in a while, the Tigers, who haven't been on the big stage in a while, you got two really, really good starters, and they just happen to be lefties, that showed on a big stage yesterday that they're ready for the moment. Okay, Skubal saying he's nervous, I think that is great. I think the little kids hear that. Like, you should hear that. Like, look, even on the biggest stage, the major leaguer is nervous. He still has some timidness to it. I think that is great for young kids to understand. And then what he did, he went on through six innings. He got hit on the wrist, and early in the game, he said, I'm good. I'm going to come back out. And like, watching that game and watching the stuff, they're throwing 92-mile-an-hour changeups, 92-mile-an-hour sliders. And 99.
Yep, just insane.
99.
Just playing all day. And it was bananas. And Brian Snitker.
It was a good day for starting pitchers.
It really was, man. It was fun. Yeah. It was fun. Whoa. It was fun to see starting pitching being, you know, the feature. And listen, the only home run, or the first home run hit in the postseason yesterday was by Fernando Tatis, who hit a moonshot. But Michael King, Brian Snitker said the same thing about King after the game. He goes, no, we didn't. I mean, like, it didn't matter what the rookie pitcher did. It didn't matter what, you know, bullpen did a great job at holding the Padres to only four runs based on what everything that we've been through. But you got to give credit to these starters, man. These starters were unbelievable. Michael King had guys swinging at pitches 3 feet out of the zone. His stuff was moving so nasty yesterday. So always fun to see in the postseason. Yeah, it was great.
I mean, what he was doing yesterday was, first of all, he was attacking the zone. And I can see that's why I love Snit. I've always loved him because, again, we live in an era where you get beat and you don't want to give credit. You get beat and say, oh, well, I didn't do that. No, you got beat and you got smacked in the mouth, suck it up, admit it, and come back the next day ready to go. That's Snicker. That's why I've always liked Snicker's attitude. But this new era, and especially with the fandom, is like, oh, man, my team's we're hopeless. We got, what? Damn. Why you don't come to the next game? You know what I mean?
Right.
Snicker knew, hey, look, we've been in this situation before. We've been champs. We've been to two World Series. We've been to the NLCS in the last few years. We're down one. That's okay. We're down one. It's 1-0. Again, do we have to win tomorrow. Like you said, we don't have to win two. We have to win tomorrow because it doesn't matter if you don't win tomorrow. So, I've always loved Snicker's his attitude. And, again, that comes with being there before.
Yeah.
When you are 22 in your first real-life situation, you don't know how to handle it. But when you're 40 and that same situation arises, you know how to handle it a little bit better. So I think that the Braves are very, very veteran, and especially with their leadership, is very, very veteran. So I don't think there's any panic on them. Could they have been tired from playing a doubleheader and then flying cross-country? Yes. Is that an excuse that anybody will use? We obviously know the answer is no. It's playoff time, baby. If you can't get yourself up for that, I don't care who you are. You must be dead. So there's no excuse, and that's why I love Snicker. And the Braves, believe it, they're gonna be hungry tonight. Like, they're not just going to lay down. And, again, King did his thing. And I don't know who's throwing tonight. Is it you?
No, it's Joe.
Joe?
Yep. Using the bullpen, if you can believe that.
Using the bullpen. Crazy.
Oh, damn. Well, then you got Cease for game. You got a nasty guy in Cease for game three. But tonight, I mean, hey, heck, it could be Joe can go out there and repeat what happened last night. And, you know, we can move on. Is it going to happen like that? Who knows? We want it to happen like that. But do you think the Braves are just going to lay down? Of course they're not. So expect it to be a grind because, again, their season's on the line. Just like the Orioles' season on the line, the Astros, who've been there before, there's no panic over there. And you got Milwaukee, who is their season's on the line tonight also. So I think it's good for baseball. I love it. People wanted the one game.
No.
They complained about it. It's not long enough. Well, you got the three games, and then the team who gets the bye complaining is too long. Hey, there's always going to be somebody complaining.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, there's only going to be one winner, and you want to be that person.
All right, a couple things. We're talking to Adam Jones here. And first of all, Snit is an unfortunate nickname. I think I just...
Snit.
Just call me Brian. That's fine. Just Brian. I'm good with Brian or...
I kind of like Snit.
Skipper, but yeah, Snit. I'm not sure if I like that one.
I like it.
I agree with you. I think best of three. I mean, it's a series. You know, go and win a series, just like you do in the regular season. If you don't win a series, I feel like, yeah, one game, you can complain. Anything can happen. But series, I'm okay with. It is important, though, obviously, to win that first game. And I wanted to ask you one question about that Royals-Orioles game. One run in the entire game. Runner on third, two outs. Bobby Witt Jr., probably going to be the best season in history for a non-MVP. Was it a mistake to even give him anything to hit there and not intentionally walk him or work around him in that situation?
See, so here's the thing: is that you basically are questioning a Cy Young in this regards. Were you doing so? You got Corbin Burns, who I'm taking his plan over most people.
I get it. I'm 3,000 miles away, sitting in a chair. Yeah,
of course. But I'm saying you got the super stud with Bobby Witt. So, but then you also, on the backside of it, a base is open. You had Pasquantino, who's been hurt and just coming back. And no matter what, if you miss a month and a half of baseball, I don't give a crap what you are. No one's T.O. coming back from a knee injury or Achilles playing in the Super Bowl. That's just not happening. So I would probably pitch to him. But it's Corbin Burns. It's not a younger guy. And Corbin, we had him 0 for 2. He did not look good his first two at bat. But again,
hindsight, baby.
If you're able to see somebody three times, it's hindsight. I don't question Corbin. That will be my answer. I would never question Corbin. I think that he would know what to do. I think if he wanted to pitch around, he probably would throw him a first pitch curveball. Probably would throw him a two seamer inside. But he was getting ahead with him with cutters away. And Bobby Witt, being the stud he is, said, "Hey, look, I'm gonna see if he does this." Now, if he threw him a slider that first pitch, he probably would have missed it by a mile. But he was gauged on that cutter away and getting the head out because he was missing everything to the right side. So that's why he's a stud. That's why he's a stud, because he can make those adjustments in game. Now, do you pitch to him to face that? I don't question a Cy Young guy. Now, if it's the fifth starter, I'm going to make the decision for him and put the guy on. But I can't question a Cy Young guy, unfortunately.
Well, and you also expect, if you're Corbin Burns, if I give up a knock here to Bobby Witt, you know, I've gotten him out twice. If I give up a knock here, we're down one. So I expect my offense.
We got a score to win.
We got a score to win at some point.
100%.
If he gets him out there, that's huge. I mean, it's just huge. So yeah, it's very easy to say after, but yeah, man, it was a really fun day, dude. Watching these games. You're in Barcelona now, yeah?
Yes, sir. I'm sitting on a corner right now, watching traffic, drinking a clotta, that's why he's here. The ambulance and motorcycles just driving. I get dogs walking around me. I've seen a beautiful corgi.
You coming back at all for playoffs?
I'll be back for the World Series.
Okay.
And hopefully my flight for game three is into San Diego.
Oh, I hope so, buddy.
That would be nice.
I hope so, my friend.
That would be nice. Who knows? Maybe the Orioles will come back and we can see them both. Adam, appreciate it. We'll chat with you again next week.
Gentlemen, always a pleasure.
All right, Big League Wednesday, Adam. I saw some people in the chat going, sometimes it's hard to hear Adam. He's calling us from Barcelona from a cafe. So, yeah, probably not the highest of audio quality, but you do get really, really good content from Adam Jones, and he's willing to do it from Barcelona, Spain. So never have a problem with AJ coming on a Wednesday, and good stuff as always. And he trusted Corbin Burns in that situation to make the right pitch. Didn't work out. I think your point, I mean, it's one run. You kept him to a single. If you're not going to score, you're not going to win that game anyway. So we will see what happens.
I mean, if you're the Orioles, you're like, dude, look at what we just wasted from the guy that we went out and got to help us get over this hump. Offense, you know, again, Cole Reagans was filthy. I mean, he was just filthy. They had chances, though. I mean, he was so good that Gunnar Henderson walked and did the most severe bat flip on a walk you've ever seen. I was like, good Lord, bro, relax. It's just a walk. But that's how good that guy was yesterday, man. He was phenomenal. So excited to tee it up again today. It's all we do it all again.
And I do think I think the Astros definitely can come back. I thought the first game might be the Tigers game, but you got Hunter Brown here in game two. I still like where the Astros are, backs to the wall, but like Adam, they're a team that can handle.
They damn near won it anyway.
They did.
Bases loaded. Jason Hayward hits a missile.
An absolute line drive.
Woo!
And if you're a Tigers fan, you were having a heart attack at the end of that game. All right, we'll talk more about the rest of the games. We got Brett Boone still coming up on a Big League Wednesday. Hour number three of Ben and Woods next year on 97.3 The Fan.